You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, for Columbia Calling, episode number 234. I hope you've been enjoying the election coverage that we've been giving you in the last couple of weeks. I'm happy to say that this has nothing to do with the elections. I'm actually very tired of election coverage, and now we can focus on some of the more interesting things taking place here in Colombia. And this is like a Colombia Calling roadshow, because we're on the road at the moment. We're in Casanare. That's a department which I'd say is sort of south of Boyacá and east of Meta. It's a big cowboy department, but in the northern section of it, you've got the Piemonte, so the foot of the mountains. The water that runs down into Yopal, that's the departmental capital, is all from the páramos up in Boyacá and Cundinamarca. So an incredibly beautiful and relatively unvisited place. And who am I here with, and who's better to give us, you know, a background into Yopal, Casanare, history, realities, tourism, then the husband and wife, a team of Aventure Ecotours. That's www.aventureecotours.com. That will be on Facebook and on our Twitter feed, so you'll be able to see it there. Husband and wife, a team of this travel agency, experts in the region, and they're going to talk to us as well about Casanare and a little bit about themselves. So welcome on this episode 234, Julia Bushman and Andres Gonzalez Perez.
Hello, thank you for having us.
You're most welcome. It's a real pleasure to be here. We've known one another for a few years now, but it's the first time in, well, 11 years it's taken me to get down to Casanare, because Colombia is so big. But I'm here, and we've been down here for a couple of days with my family. It's been incredible. You guys have organized like the best trip. But let's talk. First of all, Julia, it's clear from your name you're not Colombian, but you are married to Julia Bushman is not Colombia. Andres is Colombian, and he's what is someone from Yopal called? What is the denomination? What do you say? Yopalero, Yopaleño.
Yopaleño.
Yopaleño. Andres is Yopaleño?
Yes.
Yeah, so you are part of the history of Yopal. Your family is a traditional Yopal family. I know my listeners will be going, hang on a second. So as a Yopaleño and a German girl, let's get this out of the way to begin with. How did you guys meet?
Well, it all started, obviously, in Newcastle upon Tyne.
in Big Market, then. So you were out in a little black dress, and Andres was on the prowl.
I think it was a student accommodation party.
Okay.
So we both studied in Newcastle, did our master's there, and that was the first time ever in my life that I came in contact with Colombia.
All right.
And with the journals, because, you know, I didn't have a clear idea of what Colombia looks like, or that there are savannas and prairies. The journals wasn't the clear concept, nor Colombia. So that was the first time I heard about Colombia.
And he swept you off your feet dancing joropo.
Actually, we were cycling to the club. You took me on my bicycle, went on my bicycle.
Yeah, shop. Nice.
That's how it started.
Oh, that's very sweet. So it all started
and
with the bike ride.
It's just, when you think about it, it's like, always when you answer that question, how did you meet?
Yeah.
I just took her on her bicycle, on the handlebar, to go to a pub. In Newcastle.
There we go.
Ah! That explains everything about our relationship.
So you cycled her on the handlebars to a pub. Well done. It actually sounds like quite a Newcastle story. It's like I'm thinking of Kirsty MacColl's fairy tale in New York. This is the fairy tale in Newcastle. Perhaps the most romantic thing to ever have happened in Newcastle. I don't know.
Very romantic city.
You proposed on the on the Tyne Bridge there.
Yes.
Really?
No. It was on the beach in Tynemouth.
Okay.
Ah, Tynemouth. Okay. It's beautiful village.
Well, that's a story to tell afterwards.
Fair enough. Well, we won't delve into that. That's fascinating. That you know how were you, first of all, Andres. I mean, not so unusual for, let's say, a German person to go to Newcastle and study their masters. But someone from Yopal, how did you end up in Newcastle? I mean, I don't think any Geordie could or Englander could place Yopal on a map. It's not, you think Bogota, Cartagena, but Yopal. I mean, how did you end up in Newcastle?
Well, not even many Colombians know about Yopal. They don't have any idea about
it's
Yopal.
It's true, it's true.
Actually, it's a funny name, Yopal. When you think about the Spanish words, Yopal, sometimes when people ask you, where are you from? And you say Yopal, some foreigners think that you are from Japan.
Japan.
Because of Yopal, Japan, you know. It's a little bit of a weird name even for Colombians. But I studied in Bogota. Mm-hmm. I did my first degree in aeronautics engineering. And then I got very interested to travel abroad to study, mm-hmm. to improve just my career, to get better, these kind of things, you know. So first I left, I went to London to live close to London in a small city called Milton Keynes.
You lived in Milton Keynes?
Yes, I did.
All right. Okay. Go on.
Just for a couple of weeks until I got a student accommodation in a university called Cranfield University.
Okay.
So I did a research project there for 6 months.
Nice.
And then with that project, I started to get really interested in environmental issues and nature. I've been always interested in nature because my background from my family, mm-hmm. From my mother's side, they've been farmers for many generations. So I was interested in nature, but not that so interested. Mm-hmm. So I started to find that through my career, I could kind of go back to my roots and these kind of things.
Mm-hmm. So no use of aeronautical engineering then? You moved away from that?
I started to move away, so I selected a new career, and that's the reason. Yeah. Later on, after 1 year, I came back to England to study in Newcastle University, a master's degree on renewable energy.
Fantastic.
Because it was like a kind of like a lot of, you use a lot of physics and mm-hmm. math and this kind of thing.
So you can use your engineering, definitely.
Exactly. Yeah. You can use the different, but more focus on protecting the environment, conserving the environment, towards sustainability and this kind of things.
Always with the aim of coming back to Yopal and employing this knowledge.
Yes. Yeah. Employing this kind of knowledge to conserve our nature, our culture, and these kind of things. Especially because of the development that has been the last decade in Casanare, which is either an oil industry or either a farming industry, but that is also not good for the environment at all, because we have a lot of rice crops and pine oil crops mm-hmm. that have been developed in a non-sustainable way. So at the end, even it's farming, but it's not good for the environment.
Yeah, it's this mass production.
Mass production is never good, whatever crop it is, exactly. Yeah.
So interesting, and then you know, therefore, it was fate that brought you guys together. Just in the background, as we are in Casanare and the Piemonte here, there are macaws. So that's what you can hear in the background. There are parrots, and you can hear a little, creak in the background as well if you listen very carefully. So it's pretty cool. We are on the road. And Julia, what did you end up studying at Newcastle? You met through a student accommodation, but you weren't studying the same things.
No. I did a master's in media and public relations, and I focused a little bit similar. I focused on corporate social responsibilities and how to communicate the good in organizations and how to improve organizations in terms of environmental and social issues and how to communicate that and involve the greater mm-hmm. public.
So I worked a little bit on this. I had to do feature writing for WWF. back in the day when I had a full-time job in England, and they actually sent me to Colombia back on the Pacific coast all those years ago. And corporate social responsibility came into it a lot, but I ended up finding that a lot of it was greenwash. A lot of it was you were being employed by the company to make them look good. I don't know. Forgive me if I'm wrong. Okay. Let's not get into that and get into trouble. But I always felt that we had to focus on the fact that maybe Toyota had, you know, a fleet of 7 Priors for their workers. And you're like, okay, but what about your manufacturing plant in wherever? And, yeah, we're not talking about that. We're talking on the fact that we've got 7 Priors. Okay, very good. Anyway, now that's another story. Yes. Fascinating. But so, I mean, you then ended up, so you married, etc., Tynemouth, and as you told us, and you moved to Edinburgh.
Yes.
You worked in a Promoting Scotland campaign.
Yes, I worked with the Scottish Tourism Board.
Cool. The
school press office.
In the press office, corporate social responsibility. What did you do in Scotland?
I was working.
Yeah?
Well, actually, we made that deal when we were in England, that the first one of us who could get a job in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
So the other one would just follow.
Yeah. Very good. I like that.
So that was the deal, and I first got the job. So I got a job in Edinburgh.
Uh-huh.
It was a startup company, a small company called QED Naval.
Uh-huh.
It was focused on developing a project of tidal energy.
Yeah.
So I worked on, basically in the feasibility study and conceptual design of a platform to hold tidal turbines under the water in the sea.
Have they built them up there then?
Well, the project, when I was there, I started just with the feasibility study, a lot of computing modeling, which I did a lot. And then after I left, a few months after I left, they started with the first prototype, a very small one, like 1 meter size, I think it was more or less. And they started to test it in some tanks they have in some facilities in Scotland. So in a couple of universities, they have some tanks to simulate the conditions of the sea. And I'm very happy that now they have like a big prototype, like 1 ton.
Wow.
It's a big one. They have it in a facility in the north of Scotland. I just forgot the name. Sorry now. But it's a big facility for real big devices.
Yeah.
They have a lot of basically hectares there around the sea, about a big laboratory to test all these things. And now it's testing.
That's cool.
So it's great because it's a big thing.
You know, with your knowledge of, let's say environmental sustainable energy and things like that, I mean, surely you could consult here in Colombia on some things like that. I mean, there's plenty of coastline for tidal. I don't know if it's possible. I know that's very rough up in Scotland, so therefore that.
Yes. Yeah,
I'm getting carried away, but.
In the Pacific, there are some like potential sizes.
Yeah.
Potential size is good, but. Still, Colombia, you know, in terms of renewable energy, apart from hydropower, which is the most used in Colombia, is not very well developed. Importing the technology and developing the technology here.
Very expensive.
And it looks like something just in the future.
Okay.
So I think we are still very far from that. And the government has never supported this kind of development in a real way. As many things in Colombia. They just talk and talk and they say, we'll do it, but.
They might write it down, they might talk about it, but the actual, it's the truth of it. Because I want to make my new place in Montbos completely, like try and make it off the grid and put in solar panels and what have you, but it's expensive.
It's expensive.
They keep saying, but there's no incentive for me to do so, apart from the fact that Eco, Electro Caribe is so bad, that's my incentive that I want to make it. But they're always cutting it off, and that's the issue. It's not really that I want it to be sustainable, it's because I don't want to be depending on this awful service.
That is not reliable.
Yeah. But anyway, that's another story. But how come you guys ended up coming back to Colombia?
Well,
who wants to talk about that one? But Julia, you say it because we expect that Andres is drawn back to his homeland.
Yes,
but
it was cold.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Edinburgh's cold. Newcastle is cold.
No, I think we always talked about at some point in the future how we would move to Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
But then time passed and we worked in our everyday office life, which was nice. It was a nice job for both of us. We had good jobs and it was fun. But, you know, it becomes routine.
Yeah.
You get more, you talk about Colombia and then it's gloomy and rainy and you just think, why not do it now?
Mm-hmm.
We're still young. We don't have family attachments nor any other thing that holds us back. So why not do it now? And then if it doesn't work out, we can always come back to Edinburgh or elsewhere.
Elsewhere,
so
definitely.
Just went for it.
Awesome. What year was that when you moved?
That was in 2014.
It's a good amount of time, you know. We're into 4 years now. It's a good amount of time. And you just decide, because that's the danger, isn't it? When you get caught in that routine and it's just too easy to not come and just stay. It's like, well, you know, we're earning money.
Yes.
I enjoy what I'm doing, for example. We've got a decent quality of life. There is that, you fall into the trap, don't you?
For a Colombian, that's a big trap because you are abroad and you say, well, finally, I just got a loan to study for my education. It was very expensive. And finally, I'm working here and getting a good salary. It's safe, you know, Scotland is very safe.
Yeah.
We are having a very good life, to be honest.
That's the truth.
That's what we thought. Ah, we are having a very good life. How can we change this? But I feel sometimes Colombia is just...
I remember saying, let's do it. Colombia, you know, Colombia is so crazy. And it's so imperfect, so it's going to be a great adventure. It's just more fun.
I like that very much. Colombia's so imperfect. It's going to be a great adventure. I think that's the perfect way to end this first segment of the show.
And I think now, you know, that we are here and we've started the business and developed things and put roots a little bit.
And
looking back at Europe where... I don't want to get into it, but politics in the UK have developed in a certain way, and you're just like, God, and in Europe, everybody's complaining about unemployment, young people in Spain has been very bad, and just, I think in Colombia, there are so many things happening, and it almost feels like Europe is stagnating.
Mm-hmm.
And Colombia is just developing, and there's so much happening here. And you meet young people that develop great business ideas, and there are lots of startup businesses in Medellin and Bogota and along the coast. It's just really, it's an exciting country to be in, and it's exciting to be part of that movement. And in Casanare, tourism is developing a lot now, and it's just really starting. So it feels like you're on the forefront of something.
You're a pioneer.
Well,
your pilot is a pioneer city, and you are pioneers in your path.
I had when we were in Scotland, I had a personal, you know, like trigger to go on the way on coming back to Colombia and to work on tourism.
Yeah.
Because we had fought properly before to work on tourism in a serious way. But I had this travel to Crete. I went to Crete alone to travel around the island by bike. So I saw many groups of cyclists with bus, tour operators there, and all the beautiful scenery in Crete, because it's wonderful. Actually, it's a breathtaking place, I have to say. It's just so beautiful. And I went there in low season, so it was just, it was amazing. It was of the best trips of my life.
And
I
fought.
And I went alone, That's why I say one of the best trips of my life.
careful.
Sorry.
Careful.
But seriously, it was just amazing for me because I had a lot into cycling, into nature, these kind of things. It was just perfect. Everything was just perfect on that trip. I took my tent, all the stuff, just traveling by bike, basically. But I met a lot of very, very nice people on the road. As I said, I met many tour operators, many companies, hotels, these things, and just opened a window that, you know, it was closed before, and I thought, wow, Colombia is somehow very similar because we also have wonderful places, but we are full of them as well. We are full. It's everywhere you go to Colombia, you have wonderful places, wonderful people, so especially in Los Llanos. So we should do that in Los Llanos. Why not something similar? So it was the trigger for me. Just like, I never thought about that before. I thought, wow, this could be something that it really, really will move us, you know,
Well, what I like most, not only the positivity of the both of you talking and the stagnation of the old world and stuff, but obviously, Andres, I mean, you hit the jackpot in finding someone like Julia prepared to move, you know, and wanting to move. And I mean, that's pretty cool, because it's not everyone that will say, okay, let's go. So on that note, you know, we'll bring this segment to a close. We're talking to Andres Gonzalez Perez and Julia Bushman of Aventur Eco Tours. So the people to come to if you're planning a trip to the Llanos, Casanare. They're based out of Yopal and can do some pretty seriously incredible trips around the area. We're going to go into that further in the second segment of the show. So if you're interested in, you know, let's say the second or the third wave of Colombian destinations to visit, because that's what it is. We're not in Cartagena, we're not in Santa Marta, we're not in Bogota. We're out here in an area which is really incredible. So let's talk about that in the next segment, and we'll be right back after this short break. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. Don't go away. And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. This is episode 234. And if you've been listening so far, you'll know that we've been talking to Julia Bushman and Andres Gonzalez Perez. And we're here. This is a Colombia Calling roadshow, let's say. We're here in Yopal, Casanare. Now, it's taken me 11 years to get here. And I regret that it's taken me this long. But had I come earlier, you know, let's say in my first 6 years or so, Julia and Andres wouldn't have set up by that time Aventur Eco Tours, and so they wouldn't have the outfits that were there, you know, that are here to cater for me and my family. We've just had a few days of holidays out in the Atos. Well, Atos are kind of like haciendas out there in the plains. I mean, this is big sky country, Casanare. It's these huge open areas which are given over to sort of, I don't know, I would say it's an evolution between cattle farming and keeping nature reserves and the grasslands, and they refer to the little wooded areas as La Montaña, but it's not really a mountain, it's a wooded area, and that's where the homes are, and it's wetlands and semi-wetlands and bird life and chigüiros, which are capybara in Colombian Spanish, and different types of birds like jabiru storks and the flat-billed spoonbills, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, Rosette. You see, Rosette, you can correct me on this. But we've had the most incredible time. And, you know, my son is 3 years old, for those of you who don't know. So it's not the easiest person or easiest sort of individual to travel with. But we've had it. It's been incredible. And where we couldn't ride horses because of, obviously, you know, safety reasons, we rode a tractor out there. And how cool was that? You know, maybe he was not so interested in the bird life, more interested in the tractor, but that's part of the experience. These guys, Andres and Julia, knew how to cater for this, knew what, you know, ran some ideas past us, and we were like, no, this is ideal. We'll stay for a day in Yopal as we arrive in a beautiful place, again, of their picking. They sorted out for us. And then we went out in a 4x4, driving for about 2 hours. I guess it was south, but they'll correct me again. Northeast. Well, really wrong there. 2 hours northeast, and we went to Ato Mate Palma, and then we're out on the tractor, and we went a couple hours out to another Ato to see El Garcero, which is, again, I would say it's a flood of bird life and everything else. Not only the caimans were there too, very close. We were right up close and personal with all of this nature, and we had it completely to ourselves. And the whole time that we traveled around these areas, looking at nature, enjoying the wildlife, enjoying the views, there was not another soul to be seen. This is incredibly special in today's world, where you end up, you know, signing up for a tour or signing up for a trip or going somewhere and you're always sharing it. This is down here is a wonder of Colombia. Of course, the problem is Colombia has so much to see and do. I mean, you have to really think about how to travel. But let me run an idea past you guys listening out there. If you're doing an overland trip, It's really interesting to travel down via Via Vicencio, so the capital of Meta, so out of Bogota, about 3 hours down the mountain, and then from there, let's say 4.5 hours or 4 hours from Via Vicencio to Yopal. So you again travel along the ridge of the mountains, seeing the plains out to the right, the mountains to the left, arrive into Yopal, and then after you finish your trips down in the Atos and the grasslands and the nature reserve, seeing the incredible things, travel up through Boyacá, up through Sogamoso, up over the páramos, so the sort of high altitude plains with the frailejones and so on, and you could pass by some of the beautiful towns in Boyacá, Mongi, Tibasosa, Isa, Nobsa, and then come back into Bogotá. So you could do a circuit. It's not as if you're down here isolated, it's connected. And look at the deals on with LATAM and Avianca. There have been flights, about what's a 40 minute or a half an hour flight from Bogota to Yopal for 69,000 pesos. So, I mean, you get down here for just a long weekend, it's awesome. But now, I've been talking too long. You guys set up this travel company, and I mean, Andres, you had a vision and horse riding and so on. One of your key things that you're offering is like a multi-day horse riding trek across the Llanos. Who does this appeal to? You know, I like horse riding. Do you camp out under the stars each night? How is this done?
No, you not camping out under the stars, but you stay at the Hatos.
Yeah.
At the farmhouses.
Yeah.
The main houses, and then you can. Just do day treks, mm-hmm. just riding out to the Llanos, several hours. I mean, you've seen it, mm-hmm. there's so much space. You can ride to El Gacero, it just takes hours. You can do picnics out there, you can fish piranhas and grill them for lunch if you want. So lots of opportunities there, mm-hmm. but then you will sleep in your bed, mm-hmm. back at the farmhouse.
Very
you
good.
Can do sleeping in hammocks if you want. And we are exploring a few neighboring farms, which is what we've been doing yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
There are some really nice places out there, really wild, very original, feel very back in time, very simple, very rustic, but they don't have beds yet or any accommodation, so there you would sleep in hammocks, and that's something we're currently developing a bit more. But so far it's been sleeping in beds and then doing the treks.
And who are most of your tourists right now? Where do they come from? I mean, what kind of tourists are you getting? Bird watchers for sure, nature lovers. What parts of the world are your visitors coming from?
All over. Recently, we had people from Taiwan even here.
Wow.
Thailand
too, yeah.
Thailand and
but
Taiwan.
But that was the first Asians that came to visit.
Yeah.
Usually, we have a lot of Germans, Swiss, Dutch, British, Americans.
Canadians
too. So people, you know, okay, well-traveled people, though. I mean, definitely coming out. And so, what would you say then is your signature tour for people? People come and say, "I want an experience of the Llanos." Is that it, or you say, or do you send them always options?
We send options, but I think the signature, the key now is for us the safaris,
uh-huh.
as we call them, which is wildlife watching.
Yeah.
Going on the tractor or in dry season, this can be done by 4x4 car. So various options there. You can do it on horseback, you can do it by 4x4 car,
mm-hmm.
or on foot.
Mm-hmm.
Just
in dry season?
Yes.
Because wet season.
In dry season,
yeah.
Yes.
Now we're in wet season.
We're in wet season.
We're in wet season now, and there are a couple of places that were pretty impassable. Huh?
Yeah.
And I think we have specialized as well in tailor-made tours. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we have safaris, we have horse riding treks, we have bear watching.
Mm-hmm. We have mountain bikes.
We have mountain biking as well. Mm, but all overall, we have personal experience,
uh-huh.
as you as well, Richard and your family, you had that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's personal experiences that if you want to have a tour for 1 hour, you will have it. If you want to have a tour for 3 hours, you will have it, independent of the kind of activity.
Mm-hmm.
So we focus on one client at a time. So that client should have a personal guide who is always flexible, and the activities are always flexible.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a child, if you have an old person, if a mixed group or if a group of young people, whatever it is, we always focus on provide for you the best experience according to your needs, to your preferences, and these kind of things.
I think that's just what we do because of the nature of the journals. It's not a mass tourism destination where you just move groups through the reserves, and that's not what we are aiming for. That's absolutely not the idea of ecotourism. The idea is to have small groups, families, couples, maybe two couples together, but really not, we're not mixing groups usually. First of all, because it's not a mass tourism destination, so it's really easy to handle small groups at a time. And secondly, because it is a really wild place. It would be more difficult to handle large groups.
I don't know how you'd manage that many people, sort of, and then trying to get them to line up before the caiman is scared off. And
I think what's important to say is although we started this together, we are not alone anymore. We have all these amazing local people that help us a lot.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't be where we are without them.
Mm.
We have these amazing local guides. You've met one of them, Serviel, Gran Generoso, quite famous locally.
Yeah.
He's a local man who grew up in the haciendas. He walks barefoot and he's just a character.
Yeah.
Just a personality.
The whole ride back on the tractor, he was strumming his guitar, the cuatro, the cuatro guitar. He was singing and stuff. It wouldn't have been the same without that. You know, that was something that struck me the whole way. You know, he sung for a bit, and I guess it was, you know, for his benefit and ours, you know, for sung for a bit, but then the whole brum, brum, and that will forever be the soundtrack to the Llanos for me now, Seco doing that. So what you do is you are offering bespoke options. That's the terminology now.
Yes.
And tell me about because bird watching obviously is huge. And there are migratory species and endemic species. If there are any bird watchers listening today, I mean, Andres or Julia, could you tell us some of the species that we could get? Because I like seeing birds, photographing and so on, but I am no expert at all. So maybe you share with us a little bit of the key things that might get some people excited to come.
Yes. Well, the first thing we have to say is that we don't have endemic species in Llanos, neither, like other destinations in Colombia. But we have the chance here to provide tours where you can see and spot so many species in a relatively easy way, especially the birds of the savannas areas, the ones that you saw, for example, on the tour yesterday. So we have a lot of ibises, for example, the scarlet ibis, the barefoot ibis, the buffneck ibis. We have many different kind of ibises. We have a lot of egrets, a lot of herons. We have a lot of storks as well. And we have as well some forests with very important species like manakins, for example. So we have trogons as well. We have a range of very diverse species, I would say. And the important thing is that we can guarantee on tours that there are some tours that you can see in one day at least 100 species. But especially the Llanos birds, like I said before, the ibises, like you saw.
The Orinoco goose,
so you can see in a day big numbers, like you saw, like over 100 scarlet ibises all gathering together, flying together, which is something spectacular, you know?
It's like a crimson tide.
Exactly. Impressive.
So for birders, that's very impressive. But also along with the birds, you see other species in big numbers, like capybaras, deer, you know, tortoises, these kind of things, caimans. So if kind of a complement to all the birds of species, you have more and more.
You know, people talk about the jaguars and the ocelots and the pumas and so on. We didn't see them, but just seeing where they scratch their claws to sharpen them on the trees, that was something as well. I mean, I still photographed that. It was like, wow, you know, this is here. This is nature, you know, red in tooth and claw. This is right up there. It's like a National Geographic experience. Moving on, tell me about the mountain biking tours, because that is appealing to a different cache of tourists. Who runs the mountain biking tours? What do you do here in the Piemonte or out in the Llanos?
We started to do both, out in Los Llanos and in the Piedemonte, but with time we realized that it's better to focus just on Los Llanos. Because the thing is here, the Piedemonte in Yopal and in many places in Los Llanos, the hills are too steep. And especially for foreigners, for example, Europeans, they get too hot and they cannot cope with the weather and the humidity of the mountains with these hills. So the mountain bike tours on the hills are not very good for them here.
Okay.
Yeah, they feel very tough.
Yeah.
Because it's hot and steep and the roads are also very, the tracks are a little difficult.
Yeah.
So in Los Llanos, we found that it's even better because it's all flat. For example, in summer, it's flat, it's clear. You can just go so over the short grass, very smooth. So it's just perfect.
You see wildlife.
And you see a lot of wildlife, quite cycling. So it's kind of the best tour for us because it's totally eco. You don't need any car to move around.
Yeah.
You use your own energy to move around on transport. So it's the best tour for us, this kind of bicycle or horse riding, you know, where you don't use any fuel to move around. And you can explore even more areas with bike and by foot than with a car, you know, for example. So it's perfect, I would say. For me, that I love cycling, as a cycling perspective, it's just perfect.
No, we have to discuss this because it's you know, we're in Colombia, we're in Casanare. Yeah, I'll tell people in Bogota, Colombia, that we're in Casanare, and they'll freeze and look at me and like, "Whoa, what were you doing? And you took the risk of taking your wife and your son down there. Are you not crazy? Are you this?" But so you tell. I mean, I at no point felt that there was any threat from anything, you know, neither, let's say, not even a car accident, I mean, because we didn't see any cars. But we have to put it into context with Colombia and, you know, okay, we're in a post-accord situation now and so on. But has people want to know if Yopal, this area, and out into the Llanos, where people will visit, have ever had problems from the guerrilla groups or paramilitary groups, and if there's a possibility of problems in the future. I mean, which of you is best to give us that a little bit of a background?
From a foreign perspective, I feel safe here.
Okay, well, that's a good start.
We travel around, and of course, the Llanos is a vast region. It's covering four departments, it's one third of the country, and to just put it all to generalize it and say the Llanos are dangerous, that's just too simple. Mainly, any issues around terrorist groups, paramilitaries, has always been more along the Piedemonte, like in the mountains. And there are pockets remaining in the department of Arauca, which is a bit hot at the moment.
The border is Venezuela,
Yes, any border with Venezuela at the moment is, I think, an issue. But here in Casanare and around Yopal, it's been
very
quiet.
Yeah.
No issues whatsoever.
From a local perspective, then?
Yes, past years we had some problems, but as Julia said, it was mainly in the Piedemonte. Well, I wouldn't even say the Piedemonte, mainly up in the mountains, which is not Piedemonte anymore, it's just high mountains, over 1,000 meters, and Paramos area, these kind of areas. So we had that issue mainly with guerrilla, like from 10 years ago and before, it was mainly that time. We have this kind of limit between Boyacá, Casanare, and to the north with Arauca. So all the Cocoy area to the south and to the west of the Cocoy. So that area was like really threatened, the little villages up there. But I live in Yopal many years. So for us here, it was like something that is far from us, and you don't feel really affected because of that, you know? It's very far to go to these places. Talking about the tours, for example, we only work with tours in Los Llanos. At the moment, we don't have any issue in the Casanare area in Los Llanos. It's totally safe. There is no any problem. We have paramilitaries in Los Llanos in the first 2000 area, you know, as well in mainly everywhere in Colombia.
Yeah.
So we have that issue in Los Llanos for a couple of years. It was no more than 3 years. Meta was very affected as well. more than Casanare, but that time. But now, after they give up the paramilitaries, that time, everything has been,
it's been calm.
Basically calm, yeah. In Los Llanos, in general in Los Llanos. So now we have, we can say that in Casanare, we've been doing tours for more than 3 years. We have never had any issue, anything or any feeling that you feel unsafe or whatever.
I think there's a lot of proof now that the whole department and the palace, they are putting so much into tourism now. They have built a new Cámara de Comercio, they're really focused. There's a cluster de turismo. We all pull on one string, all the operators here, because there are a few more. And we all really work together and try to bring tourism here. They are building a new airport, which will be ready now. It's a very nice shiny airport. It's not the small one anymore where they bring you your suitcase on a little carriage. It was very rural. And now this is a
so they're really
putting betting into infrastructure,
on
which is something they wouldn't do if there was a risk of any kind.
Yeah, and I think it is important to say that many Colombians still have that image, you know, of Los Llanos and Casanare to be dangerous and these kind of things. But as I think, you know, to just it's a personal thinking. I live in Bogota many years as well, and I think, if, for example, if you are from Bogota and you have lived in Bogota, you will feel that Yopal and Los Llanos is one of the safest places in the world, to be honest. When I go to Bogota, I know how it is. I know how things are there, you know? So most people who travel to Colombia have to go to Bogota, and most Colombians have been in Bogota. So after being in Bogota, and if you come to Los Llanos, you will see that this is a totally calm area, very safe, and it's another history. So I think that's the best way to compare, you know, to put under perspective.
It's quiet countryside. And also, Yopal, you move around, you don't need to cling on to your handbag. It's really relaxed.
Plus, it's Yopal, I mean, I've driven through, it's a departmental capital, but really it's a village. As you say, it's a village, and it, there's a nice feeling here. It seems that people look out for one another. And if I were to take into context that we were out there in the Atos and in the plains and savannas and so on, the Llanos, and you think, well, you know, do people talk about guerrillas? Do people talk about this? And you're like, well, they could never have been here. There's nowhere to hide. You could be spotted from 100 miles away. You know, it's like, why would you come through this area? So really, a really special part of Colombia, and hopefully, you know, your business will, I know it will grow. It will grow, because people will start to tune into these things little by little. They'll start to understand that not everything is, you know, blowing up. Again, with these cheap flights, that's where you tap into. Is the 40 minutes? Was it 40 minutes or is it 30 minutes? People have told me different things,
between
but equally
30 and 60.
It depends. How many times you have to flow? You know,
one
circle.
Way it's shorter than
really. But you know, this is not a long flight, and the 69,000 pesos. What's that? $25 or something? I mean, it's just not. It's not even worth thinking about.
And it's really nice. You just leave the Andes.
Yeah, and then descend.
And descend.
And
you
fly
it must be so beautiful.
You know what's the difference between the 30 minutes and 60 minutes flight from Bogota to Yopal?
It's the baggage reclaim.
No, it's the taxiing in El Dorado Airport. You know the taxiing?
Yeah.
That's the difference in time, because the flight is no longer than 30 minutes.
Okay, I understand that. Taxiing out
so
on the runways.
Before the takeoff, yeah.
Unfortunately, we have no more time. But we could talk for hours about Casanare and all of the benefits here, but I think we've given a very, you know, ample slice of an example of what to do out here and who to come with. It's been a real pleasure, and it's been a real pleasure to visit you down here in your environment. You know, it's like you're like wild beasts in your environment. It's been really special to be down here, and thank you so much for organizing our trip. We really loved it. I think I speak for the whole family.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
I hope to be back before 11 years pass, and you guys are going to be too high and mighty to look after us. You'll send us off with your assistance.
Never.
But listen, for those people out there listening to Columbia Calling and listening to this travel-related episode, please check out AventurEcoTours.com. The website's on our Facebook page. It's on Columbia Calling Twitter feed, etc., etc. These guys know what they're doing. And as they say, you know, they focus on bespoke tours to the Llanos. And it's fascinating out here. You won't regret it. So this, I've been talking to Julia Bushman and Andres Gonzalez Perez of Aventure Eco Tours. It's been excellent. This has been episode 234. And that'll be me signing off for this week. We'll be back next week with someone else talking something about Colombia. Thank you again for listening. Bye-bye.